Once there was a time when all the elements of earth, sea, and sky lived on the land together in many, many villages.
Many years ago, back in the old country, there lived a holy, sweet couple who loved each other so very much.
A long time ago, in a village somewhere in Tamil Nadu, there lived a monkey.
There was once a man, tall and handsome, who met a woman, beautiful and elegant, and they fell in love with each other.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away and will bring you back safely. I stood still and was a tree amid the wood, knowing the truth of things unseen before, of Daphne and the laurel bough, and that God-feasting couple old that grew elm oak amid the wood. 'Twas not until the gods had been kindly entreated and been brought within unto the hearth of their heart's home that they might do this wonder thing. Natheless, I have been a tree amid the wood, and many a new thing understood that was rank folly to my head before. This week, the stories happen in the shade of trees, and the first story is from Colorado storyteller Pam Farrow with the story, When the Cat Came to Muhammad.
The Prophet Muhammad one day left the city and stepped out into the desert to teach a large crowd who had gathered. He sat himself down underneath a small shade tree, and as the sun was beginning to rise in the sky, he spoke and he taught, and the people listened. And as he spoke, a small, thin, sickly cat crept towards him. And the cat curled up on the soft folds of the bottom of Muhammad's fine robe that he was wearing. Curled up there, under the shade of that small tree, the cat began to sleep and to rest and to heal in the way that a cat will. The Prophet continued to teach as the sun grew high in the sky. The people listened. The cat slept. The day went on. People ate of the food that they had brought in their baskets and bundles, and as the sun was lowering in the western sky, and the Prophet was still speaking, and the cat was still resting and sleeping and healing, it came time to draw the day's teaching to a close. The people packed up their baskets and bundles and headed back to the city. And the Prophet Muhammad himself also needed to return. But the cat was still lying there on the edge of his fine robe. So, Muhammad reached into his basket and slowly drew out a large, sharp knife. And he bent over, and most deliberately, he cut off the edge of the finest of his robes, tucked the soft edges of the material around the cat, and let the cat remain there, undisturbed, in the shade of the small tree, to rest and to sleep and to heal.
The search for true love is a long and winding road. You have kissed unsuspecting sleeping men and women, worn out iron shoes, and talked to every older woman, dwarf, and animal that looks like they might have a lead on the love of your life. But it is time to get off your horse and let If the Shoe Fits Matchmaking Services do the work for you. We will put the legumes under the mattresses and put the potential matches to the test of rigorous questing while you catch up on your reading, weaving, and drinking with your friends. Let If the Shoe Fits find the person for your happily ever after. Trees in folklore often provide the very thing that cannot grow on trees. In the original Cinderella, she gets her gown not from a daffy fairy godmother, but from a tree planted over her mother's grave. In folklore, trees have been known to grow wondrous things like jewels, necklaces, hair, birds, and fish. In one story, a king has a tree that grows bacon, which begs the question, is bacon grown on a tree considered vegetarian? Also, where can I get one? But the most popular thing by far to grow on a tree in the fairy tale past was golden fruit. And so for the second half of the podcast, I present a tale told by Chicago storyteller Janice Del Negro. This is Three Golden Oranges.
Once in the hills above Granada, there lived a widow. Oh, don't feel sorry for her. She was a rich widow. She was a rich widow with a handsome son. His name was Diego. Diego was tall and straight. He had black hair and black eyes and white teeth. He was a singer of songs, a teller of tales. He could charm the fruit right out of the trees. His mother thought he should get married soon. And to that end, she introduced him to all of the eligible young women of Granada. But Diego was not interested in those young women. Diego, you see, was a romantic. Diego believed that somewhere in the world was the one, the woman of his heart, and he would have no other. His mother finally lost patience and said to him, "Fine, fine. Go on, go off and find her, this one, this woman of your heart. But before you go, go and visit your aunt. She is very old and she is very wise, and she will be able to help you." And so Diego, who was a dutiful son, went to visit his aunt. And he told her of his quest to find the one, the woman of his heart. now Diego's aunt. She was very old, and she had seen everything. And she listened to Diego, and when he was through, she laughed. "My son," she said, "I will help you. Here is what you must do. You must find the garden where the magic orange tree grows. At the top of the orange tree, there are three golden oranges. You must fetch the oranges and bring them back to me. Oh, one thing. You may not climb the tree." Now, Diego was a dutiful son and a dutiful nephew. But he could not see what three golden oranges had to do with him finding the one, the woman of his heart. And his aunt, she patted him on the back of the hand and said, "This is a quest you don't get to pick." And Diego set off on his journey. He walked many miles till he came to a great walled garden. And in the wall of that garden was a gate made of gold. Diego went through the gate, and in the garden he found a young woman. She was about 18 years old. She was not the one. She came up to him and said, Sir, you cannot be here. If my mother, the sun, discovers you here in her garden, she will be very angry." And Diego said, "Oh, but you don't know. You don't know my story." And so he told her of his quest for the one, for the woman of his heart. And the young woman, she was greatly moved. And when her mother, the sun, returned, the young woman asked if she knew where the garden was, the garden where the magic orange tree grew. And the sun replied, "No, I do not. But perhaps my sister, the moon." And Diego thanked them and set off down the road. He walked for many miles, and he found a great walled garden. In the wall of that garden was a gate made of silver. And Diego went through the gate into the garden, and there he found a girl. She was about 14 years old. The girl approached Diego and said, "Sir, you cannot be here. If my mother, the moon, finds you here, she will be so angry." And Diego said, "Oh, but listen to my story." And he told her of his quest for the one, for the woman of his heart. The young girl was moved. And when her mother, the moon, returned, the girl asked, did she know where the garden was, where the magic orange tree grew? And the moon replied, "No, but perhaps my sister, the wind." Diego thanked them and went down the road. He came to a great walled garden, and in one wall was a gate made of glass. Chimes. Chimes that sang at the slightest breath. Diego went through the gate into the garden. There he found a young girl. She was about 8. She came up to Diego and said, "Ooh, you're going to get in trouble. If my mother, the wind, finds you here in her garden." Diego said, "Oh, but you do not know my story." He told her of his quest for the one, for the woman of his heart. And this girl, she was completely unimpressed. "If you don't stay here and tell me stories and sing me songs," the girl said, "I'm gonna tell." Diego stayed. He sang songs and told stories. And when the wind returned to the garden, her daughter asked, did she know where the magic orange tree grew? And the wind said, "Yes. If you travel to the top of the mountain, on the other side there is a valley, and in the valley is the garden you seek." Diego thanked the wind, and he set off on his journey. He climbed the mountains, past the grass and the flowers, to the rocks and the snow, and when he came over the crest of the mountain, he looked down into the valley on the other side. He could see it, even from so high. There in the center of the valley was a garden, set like a green jewel. Even from so far away, Diego could see, at the center of the garden, there was a tree, and the gold glinted from the topmost branches. Down the mountainside he raced into the garden, to the foot of the orange tree. He looked up at the golden oranges that glistened at the top and remembered what his aunt had told him. You may not climb the tree. Well, Diego could charm the fruit right out of the trees. So that is what he did. And when he had the oranges, he tucked them into his jacket, and he set out for the home of his aunt. But you know how it is when you travel, when you set out on a journey. When you first on your way, the journey seems short, the excitement will carry you all the way to your destination. But on your way back, seems long. And so it was for Diego. He was tired and hungry. He reached into his jacket and pulled out a golden orange. He peeled back the golden skin, and when he did, a young woman stepped from the orange into the palm of Diego's hand. She leapt from his hand to the earth, and when her feet hit the ground, she sprang up as high as Diego's eye. She opened up her fan and gazed at him over it. Give me some bread, she said. I have no bread, said Diego. Ah, said the woman, then I must return to my tree. And just like that, woman, orange, peel, and all were gone. Now Diego walked further down the road until he met a band of gypsies, and from them he bought a loaf of bread. And then he sat down on a stone at the side of the road, and he pulled the second golden orange from inside his jacket, and he peeled back the golden skin. And when he did, there stepped from the orange a young woman. She stepped into the palm of Diego's hand and leapt from his hand to the ground. When her feet hit the earth, she sprang up as high as Diego's chin. She opened up her fan and she gazed at him over it. She was not the one, but she was very close. Give me some bread, she asked Diego. And he did. Now, the woman said, give me some water. Diego said, I have no water. Then I must return to my tree, the young woman said. And woman, orange, peel, and all were gone. Now Diego walked into a town. He bought a loaf of bread from the inn. He went and sat on the edge of a fountain in the center of the square. He pulled that third golden orange from inside his coat, and he peeled back the skin. A young woman stepped from the orange into the palm of Diego's hand. She leapt from his hand to the ground, and when her feet touched the earth, she sprang up as high as Diego's heart. She opened up her fan, and she gazed at him over it. He could not tell you if she was beautiful. All he knew was that she was the one. Give me some bread, the young woman said, and he did. Give me some water, and he did so. Now we will marry and live happily, the young woman said. Diego took her by the hand to lead her to his mother's house. But the young woman stopped him. No, it is not seemly that you would take me to meet your mother on foot. It shows disrespect for your mother and for me. You must rent a horse and carriage. This Diego was happy to do. He went up to the inn to rent a horse and carriage. He told the innkeeper of his great good fortune at finding the one, the woman of his heart. The innkeeper was delighted and insisted on toasting Diego and his love. And then Diego and his aunt. And then Diego and his mother. And then the children and the grandchildren that were sure to come. With all this toasting, time passed. And the young woman sat at the edge of the fountain. After a time, she grew warm and decided to climb into the branches of an olive tree that grew over the fountain. While she sat there emerged from the inn a maidservant. The maidservant came down to the fountain. She was carrying a pitcher. She leaned over the fountain to fill the pitcher with water, and when she did so, she saw reflected in the water the face of the young woman sitting in the olive tree. The maidservant's heart was filled with envy. Oh, if I had that face. If I had that face, there is no man who could resist me. Her envy and anger was so great. She lifted the pitcher into the air and she slammed it into the fountain, shattering the reflection and the pitcher. The maidservant went back up to the inn for a second pitcher, and when she came down to the fountain, she leaned over the fountain to fill the pitcher. And when she did, she saw reflected in the water the face of the young woman sitting in the olive tree. The maidservant's heart was filled with fury. Oh, if that face were mine, if that face were mine, what power I would have. And in her fury, the maidservant took the pitcher and slammed it into the fountain, shattering the reflection and the pitcher. The maidservant went back to the inn. The innkeeper gave her a third pitcher, a metal pitcher. The maidservant went back to the fountain. When she leaned over the fountain to fill the pitcher with water, she saw reflected there the face of the young woman seated in the branches above the fountain. The maidservant gazed for a long moment at that face. Her heart was filled with fury and envy. If I had that face, if I had that face, there would be no end to my power. And in her fury, the maidservant took the pitcher and slammed it against the fountain. But the pitcher was metal and it did not break. And the maidservant took the pitcher and slammed it against the fountain again and again and again. And the young woman in the branches of the olive tree, she laughed. Quick as a cat, the maidservant climbed into the olive tree. She pulled from her bosom a pin, and she took the pin and stuck it into the forehead of the young woman in the tree. And there where there had been Diego's love, there sat a dove, a gray dove, that could do nothing but coo. The maidservant climbed down from the tree. She filled the dented metal pitcher with water, and she went back up to the inn. Diego and the innkeeper had finished toasting, and Diego went back to the fountain leading a horse and carriage. But where he had left the one, the woman of his heart, There was no one. Diego was frantic. He searched everywhere, through the town, through the woods around the town. He could not find her. He sat at the edge of the fountain in despair. Up above his head, the dove cooed in the branches of the olive tree. And Diego looked up. "Well, little dove," he said, "you mourn for me. Come then." And he reached up and he took the dove in his hands. "Come then," Diego said. "We will go and see my aunt, and perhaps she can help us." And he tucked the dove into his jacket, and he set out for the home of his aunt. Now, Diego's aunt had been waiting for him. And when she saw him come walking up the road, when she saw the dove that he cradled next to his heart, she knew what had happened. When he reached her door, she reached out with her long, bony fingers and took the dove from Diego, and she felt with her old fingertips. She felt in the feathers of the dove's head until she found the head of the pin, and she drew it out. There before Diego stood the one, the woman of his heart. She opened up her fan, and she gazed at him over it. The wedding lasted for 7 days. I know. I was there. But all I came away with was the peel from one golden orange.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show notes and more information about the storytellers you heard today can be found at storystorypodcast.com/episode18. Show the love. Find Pam Farrow and Janice Del Negro on Facebook. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. The poem at the beginning of the podcast was The Tree by Ezra Pound. I would also like to thank the Multicolored Diary blog for the references to the variety of things that can grow on trees in fairy tales. You can find a link to that blog and oh so much more at multicoloreddiary.blogspot.com. In fairy tales, the magic number is 3, so I have 3 things for you to do. 1, like and rate the show on iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. I would like to thank Rob Vanderwilt from Belgium, who left a wonderful review on iTunes. It's amazing to know this podcast has listeners around the world. 2, join the mailing list. You will get a link to the podcast delivered to your inbox, plus news and other storytelling-related goodness. 3, consider becoming a supporter. For as little as $4 a month, you can help support the podcast and get a Story Story short. The short for this episode is by Claire Murphy, who shares a beautiful story titled The Graveyard of Youth. You can find out how to support the podcast and join the mailing list at storystorypodcast.com. And a huge thank you to the ongoing supporters. If you would like to stay connected, you can find me and the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram. I post an ad for every fairy tale sponsor, so go like the page and take a look. Let me know the favorite story you've heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. In the next podcast, the rooster will crow and bring us stories of clever husbands and adventure. I hope you'll join me again, and until then, live happily ever after.
The wedding lasted for 7 days. I know. I was there.
I would cross 27 countries, wear out 3 pairs of boots, battle 2 giants, and the grandmother of all witches, Baba Yaga, before I was reunited with my frog princess. But that's a story for another time.
The last thing he said before he died was a curse on anyone who who would dare to go sing with the fairies. Just because a story is strange, do not mistake. It can also be true.